Well, there's nothing like Tom Casper for real fun. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, super. I mean, seriously, it's warming up. The sun is out. And like many folks, I hope, I got to see some family this weekend, and I feel great.
That's awesome.
I know. I kind of thought so, too. Yeah.
Go back to Western Minnesota?
I did indeed. I did indeed. I got to see my mommy for the first time since August. Got to see the kid. Got to see my bonus kid. It was so much fun. Got to do some driving around, taking some pictures, doing that kind of thing. The wildflowers are starting up in the woods. I didn't see a lot of the prairie wildflowers yet. Although there were some really astonishing dandelions, which I get a kick out of because they were growing right next to the farm field. And I thought, but you know, they use chemicals on the farm field. So the dandelions are right there going, neener, 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 can't kill us, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, it was fabulous. Gardening, we've got a stretch of 60s coming up. It's going to be fun to get out in the garden.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Yeah, it looks like no after maybe last night or something that no freezing temperatures now, at least.
Tonight, mid-30s.
Yeah.
But then it starts to look like 40s. I'm looking at the amazing Extendo forecast right now, and it looks like 40s. For the rest of the week. So, woohoo, cool.
Good. Yeah. So folks can start kind of thinking about getting their gardens not planted yet as far as their warm season crops, but certainly their cool season stuff. If they haven't put that in yet, they can. So,
now, what about flowers and the nicer, you know, of course, it was Mother's Day weekend. And so they're, you know, all the garden centers have their flowers out in containers. And everybody wants to get their containers out, and everybody, you know, knows it's Minnesota, and you don't really dare. But what about, you know, if somebody gifted you with a lovely container of flowers to put on the front porch, should you just keep it in the living room for a little while yet, or what's the best plan?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that works.
Yeah, it's still plenty early, and you're not going to gain anything if you're having it out, certainly in that cold. The chances of losing are far greater than winning with keeping it out. So if you do have hanging baskets or containers with flowers, and it's still not, I mean, now, like you said, it's 30s tonight, and then after that into the 40s. So maybe you can potentially after tomorrow, you can leave that out. You really, anything below 40 degrees, you're probably better off bringing that stuff inside. So just because some of it is more susceptible to cold than other plants, so you just don't really know which ones are which till you.
I come in when it gets colder than 40. I come in too, because
yeah, exactly.
I'm delicate, and I know that I don't like it when it's below 40. So there you have it.
Yeah, so you know, there's, and you'd mentioned the weeds next to the farm field going neener, 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 and
yeah.
And
I heard them.
And, yeah.
I made a recording, as a matter of fact.
And it's an interesting thing that the adaptability of weeds to do that, to get to the where those places are. And for many people, they see them as weeds and an annoyance. But for other people or other animals, they see them as life, whether it's insects or whatever it happens to be, or things that are feeding on those, and certainly in a setting like a large agricultural field where those weeds along the edge might be the only sustainable thing for some of the insects in the area, that they play an important role in the survival of those insects. And that's really reading about, there's a lot of conversations going on worldwide about the decline of insect diversity and the insect populations and the over-farming of a lot of the agricultural areas is attributed to that, or part of the components of why that is happening. because you end up with monocultures of if it's all corn or if it's all wheat or it's all barley or it's all whatever it happens to be, that obviously minimizes the diversity for the insects, whether they're bees or butterflies or flies or beetles or whatever it happens to be, all are impacted by that planting. So there's a lot of push worldwide to try to reverse some of that farming, and not reverse it, because obviously we all need to eat, but to do it in a practice that also helps maintain those insect populations that are critical to our own survival. And really the food chain starts with those insects. So they're a part of us as much as we're a part of them. And so there's a lot of conversation about creating those oases or creating strips or parts of farmed areas where insects have that habitat available to them, and as sort of a way of helping deal with this insect population decrease that's going on. And we can certainly do it in our own yards. You know, you and I grew up in a culture where the perfect home was a lawn that had not a weed in sight.
Well, we had 5 acres of oak woods growing up. I was so lucky to grow up in the country, and my dad had a sense that all of those branches needed to be picked up. And oaks shed branches like golden retrievers shed fur. But dandelions, he wasn't going to get too uptight about the dandelions. I was lucky. My ex-husband had to dig them out with a knife, one by one by one. And that's caused him a lot of trauma as a young person.
Yeah.
Which had severe repercussions.
Where I would get a penny a piece to dig them out in my family's.
Oh, wow. So you were making money.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you were one of the lucky ones who did not have to go into therapy in later life because you were made to dig dandelions. Yeah.
I had a financial end to it, so.
Well, that's why you're so
ice cream.
That's why you're so well adjusted now. I'm pretty impressed. So, but yeah, but you know, if you lived in town and if you had a city-sized yard, yeah, there were not supposed to be dandelions. But, you know, I tell you, you may have noticed this also. I don't know about you, but the minute the dandelions start popping up, all these recipes start showing up for dandelions, and people start going, oh, you know, look what I foraged, and I got some dandelions, and I got some ramps, and I got some this, and I got some that. And there's a lot of I mean, I don't know whether I'd want to eat the dandelions from right next to the farm field, but because who knows what's been blowing over onto them.
Yeah, but dandelions that are coming from your yard.
Well, my yard's still pretty scary, too. But yeah, okay. I mean, I get your point.
After I said that.
Yeah, I get your point. Hey, my yard is now a habitat, I got to tell you, for dogs have part of it, but I've reconfigured their fence, and guess who lives in the other half?
Are they furry?
Infant rabbits. Oh my gosh, they're so cute.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Yeah. And now the dogs can't bother them, and they'll be grown, you know, or they'll be out on their own within, you know, a few weeks, a month, and I'll put the fence back where it was before. But in the meantime, everybody gets along and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, and think about that in life, that if we find that happy balance, so you as a gardener, as a homeowner, some would see those rabbits as you know, I have to destroy them, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And it's this creating of this perfect environment for us. And we don't sometimes think about what us seeking out that perfect environment does for the other organisms around us. And how do we find that happy medium? And that goes to whether it's some rabbits in your yard that eat some grass or eat a few things, and then they move on, or dandelions in your yard, or weeds, or whatever it happens to be. By us creating that level of tolerance or level
compromise. Remember that word? We used to talk. Remember people used to talk about compromise, where each side actually gave a little bit, and then there was a thing that we all, you know, we did stuff then? Remember that?
Yeah. And us as humans is sort of the powerful one in that situation, where we can enact our will in our yard. We can exterminate all of those weeds. We can destroy any of the insects that come around. We can chase out all the animals or block them, and we haven't compromised. But if we compromise and we create an environment that is beneficial to both us, because it's okay, and it's also beneficial to those insects, to some of those animals, to the squirrels, to the birds, to the rabbits, to whatever, and we find a way to coexist and through compromise, and I mean, it's a better place. And so instead of rushing out to build a bigger fence, to trap those animals, to spray those weeds, to eradicating those insects, we find that happy medium where we all can coexist and it's, you know, it's just, I think, a little bit nicer way to go about life. And so finding that way to do that, and it can't be the same for everybody, and it isn't the same for everybody. So everybody needs to find their place in that and their tolerance level. But
you know, it sounds like what the other thing you're saying is that if we think we're creating the perfect environment for us, it might be because we're not looking quite far enough down the road. Because when you talk about biodiversity and you talk about, you know, insects as the foundation of the food chain in many respects, or close to the foundation of the food chain, we're going to, you know, these are the repercussions down the road for us are going to be pretty grim also if we don't try to change some practices.
Yeah. So the seeking of the perfect lawn, of the perfect garden, of the perfect this and that actually has an adverse effect on our own existence. And by us creating that level of tolerance, we not only benefit from it, but everything else around us does too.
Cool.
So thinking about it that way, before we grab that bag of this or jar of spray of that,
or the flamethrower.
Or the flamethrower. And I mean, it really is about that, because you've talked for years about your thistle in your backyard. And then
The thistle, I have a new appreciation for the thistle, because goldfinches like thistle, and I have such an appreciation for goldfinches. The burdock that ends up stuck in the dogs. I had a farm once where I lived, and I had like 7 foot tall pigweed. I didn't have a whole lot of appreciation for that. But I've kind of pretty much drawn the line as basically burdock. It's like, no, my dog.
And that's your compromise.
You know, and that's my, you know, you can do anything you want as long as you don't stick yourself to my dogs and come in the house.
Yeah.
There
so
you
that's
go.
Your compromise.
I mean, that's what I told you.
This whole. But not burdock. And I think that's a good way of looking at it. Folks can accept certain things in their yard that aren't as perfect as they viewed them as needing to be, but still have some threshold, and your threshold is burdock.
Except I've got this tiny little flower in my backyard, this super, super tiny, low growing little blue flower. And I ought to remember what it is, and I don't. And I understand that it's actually kind of an invasive, and it's really not, in the big scheme of things, a great thing. But it's so pretty.
So that's probably sill, or cilia, or squill.
Yeah, I think that's it. Uh-huh.
And that goes away, you know, and it's
well, it does.
It's a great early pollen.
I could dig it up, and I could dig it up and put it in the wildflower garden, and then it's there on purpose.
There you go.
Yeah. No, maybe not.
So,
just a thought. It's
really, that creating that level of expectation, or how you want your yard within some sort of a compromise for how this could affect others, and what we do has that kind of effect. And, you know, it's really creating a more welcoming environment for everybody. So,
you know, that's how we've managed to do radio together all these years. Compromise and yeah. Lowering expectations.
Yeah. I call with all these ideas and they all get changed, and I'm okay with that.
TK, let's talk again in a couple of weeks, shall we?
We should.
I think that would be super cool, okay?
Okay.
All right. You take good care. Tom Casper this morning, our longtime host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of Tuesdays here on Northland Morning.